This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Inshallah, we will read from verse number 53 of Surat Al-Ahzab on page number 569.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحيي منكم والله لا يستحيي من الحق وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما لا جناح عليهن في آبائهن ولا أبنائهن ولا إخوانهن ولا أبناء إخوانهن ولا أبناء أخواتهن ولا نسائهن ولا ما ملكت أيمانهن واتقين الله إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة وأعد لهم عذابا مهينا والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا وإثما مبينا يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك أدنى أن يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. My dearest mothers and sisters, in my last talk that I delivered at this particular venue, I mentioned that a young boy in South Africa had committed suicide and that people were blaming his wife. I was subsequently corrected and informed that the investigation into this case is still going on. Therefore, we cannot say anything conclusively in this regard until investigations are complete. And as the topic of discussion was the need to abstain from spreading rumors, making accusations, etc., thus, even in this case, we do not need to engage in further discussion. Rather, we make dua for goodness. As for the verses I have just read before you today, they are very important, making mention of etiquettes of visiting. We all know that today people visit one another. Some people sit for too long. Some people have no direction in when to visit, how long to sit for, and sometimes even who to visit. We visit people sometimes where we end up doing nothing but gossip. We end up saying wrong things. Sometimes when we say wrong things, we go to people's houses such that we are not corrected. You know, no matter who we are, we should accept correction. My brothers and sisters, or here we are talking to mothers and sisters, it's very important for us to know that Allah has placed within the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rules and regulations with regards to visiting as well. Starting with the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who is it that would not want to go to the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When you have a very good person, really spiritual, he who is teaching us so much goodness, the heart would yearn to go to his house. If you're invited to the house of a pious person, you should be very happy. But at the same time, not all pious people can entertain everyone who would like to be entertained by them. Because they are one particular person who has to fulfill the rights of whatever Allah has placed upon their shoulders regarding those whom they live with and their family members and relatives and others as well, primarily. And sometimes our visiting and our excitement in wanting to visit can hinder their fulfillment of their own rights. You know, you have, for example, people who decide, okay, this Sunday we're going to spend quality time and perhaps we might do this and go to the lake and whatever else. 5 minutes before you leaving, a whole group of people come home and say, oh, we're here to sit. Now everyone's looking at each other because today we live in a hypocritical world where nobody has the guts to say, listen guys, sorry, can you come back another time? We were all planning to go to the lake, you know. And don't even be too polite to offer them to come to the lake. You might spoil your trip. Allahu Akbar. You know, just tell them, look, you know, it's the wrong time to come. We're very, very sorry. We'll visit you and we'll even bake a cake and bring it. Believe me, it's better to bake a cake at home. It'll only take you 20 minutes if you know how to do it. I can help you. And at the same time, you'd rather go with that cake than to be a hypocrite and sit itching on your chair. When are they going to go? May Allah protect us. So this is why we need to put ourselves in the shoes of those. And we need to learn a lesson. Whenever you want to visit, you need to visit. Let them know. Phone them in advance. Is it okay, we want to visit you next week, or we want to visit you today, later on, or tomorrow, or at a convenient time for you. And when we go, we should not be sitting for longer than a little period of time. You should realize people have their own downtime. They want to spend time with their family. Perhaps they have other things to do. If they force you to sit, then alhamdulillah. But nowadays, living in the hypocritical world, people want you desperately to go. And they tell you, sit a bit longer, sit a bit longer, just to look nice. For what? This is the norm. People are doing this and it's happening. So now when you hear people saying, sit a bit longer, it means get out. Sometimes. Allah protect us. Really. And this is why we suffocate on the globe, because we don't realize and understand that we need to be straightforward. Let's live a beautiful life. People might not like you for 5 minutes, but they will appreciate your candidness. They will appreciate the fact that you were upright, that you did not beat about the bush. You told him, listen, you know, I'm a straightforward person. I really love you. It's so nice that you visited. But we're actually in the process of doing something. Can you come back later? So the Quran says in Surah Nur that if you are asked to go back, it's better for you. With us, have we ever visited someone and we just about enter the home and they say, please, can you just come back another time? Unless they're having a huge domestic, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. Now, why the verses that I read today starts with the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because everyone wants to go to his house. They're waiting for him to invite them as well. And when they are invited, they go early. And at the same time, they sit for so long. So, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to tell them something, but out of his goodness, he didn't say anything. Because it was his duty to explain the etiquettes of visiting to everyone. So Allah revealed verses to make it easy for him to do that job. Like we are saying today, you know, you've got so many other platforms. For example, you could have a recording of this lecture and perhaps just send it to someone or give it to someone. And, you know, they may benefit from it, or we can all benefit. This Allah has made it easy for us. Imagine we've got teachings of Islam that really make life easy for everybody if we are ready to follow. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, Enter not the Prophet's house unless permission is given to you for a meal. So when you're invited for a meal, then you enter the house. You know, people sometimes visit a scholar unannounced. They pretend that, you know what, or they think that, okay, this is a scholar, he is placed in order to serve us, so we can go whenever we want. However, they don't realize that these people also have lives. They also have commitments, they have duties, they have chores that they need to fulfill. So make an appointment at least and see. When they have time, go there for a short period of time, finish up your business and carry on. Or see them at their workplace. So sometimes we feel like, you know, we feel very at ease when we see people. And we think that, oh, they've got the world's time for us. I remember meeting in South Africa a doctor who told me that, you know, he was a top heart surgeon or heart specialist. And he says, when people see me, they become sick. So I said, what do you mean? He said, they remember that their heart is sore. And they said, I'm out for Taraweeh. I'm coming out for Salah. And he says, I've got to worry about who's reading next to me, because when they say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi salam, and they notice I'm sitting next to them, they say, hey, doc. So he says, yeah, what? He says, you know, I got this problem. But brother, I'm here for Salah. What are you talking about? You can make an appointment and come and see me at the proper place. Now that you just saw me in the middle of nowhere, you suddenly became sick. So this is the attitude of people. So this, it harms people, and out of their goodness, they might not tell you. They'll probably deal with you and say, okay, this and that. Half the time you think it's a heart problem. Believe me, it's gas. Allah protect us. So my mothers and sisters, we need to know something. That we need to put ourselves in the shoes of others in order to be able to take a look at what would be the best and most suitable thing to do. Look at this. It is etiquette. It's not a direct act of worship, but it is an indirect act of worship, which means to be considerate of others is definitely an act of worship that you might not realize, not as direct as salah and so on, but you're earning a reward through worrying about others' comfort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who realize. So Allah says, don't enter the Prophet's houses unless permission is given to you for a meal. And then he says, and do not go so early and wait for the preparation of the food. So someone invites you for lunch. Imagine you invite a group. We're talking here to mothers and sisters, so I can give you a good example. Imagine you invite a group of sisters for lunch. And you say, right guys, we'll have lunch inshallah and such a day at home. And 9 o'clock in the morning, knack knack, the door knocks. What happened? The whole group is there. We still need to cook. We still need to prepare. We still, half the time we're in our PJs. Allahu Akbar. And that's, may Allah protect us. So early. That's why nowadays you need to put a time. Please don't come before 1:30. Allahu Akbar. And you might have to put another time and don't be here after 2 o'clock because it's over. Restaurant closed. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes people invite us for a meal. We end up going so early. And sometimes we end up going so late. So to be considerate is what Allah is telling us. The lesson is, start off with the house of the messenger. Don't go so early. Go when you're invited. And when you're invited, and if you have some work, obviously you may want to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is a place to meet him. There is a way to meet him. But if you want to go to one of his houses where his wives stay, you need to have an invite. And you need to then realize that I can't go so early when I'm being invited for food. Let me go after the food is prepared and when they're about to eat. Then guess what? Allahu Akbar. Look at the Almighty. MashaAllah. We are so fortunate to be Muslimin. He says, and once you have had your meal, you see, when you are invited, enter. You go in, right? And once you have had your meal, disperse without sitting for a talk. Because they didn't invite you to come, we'll have a chat. No. If that's what was said, it's something else. But come for the meal. So you go for the meal. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. Don't make yourself too comfy by talking, you know, and by engaging in a chat. Sometimes women will tell you straight up, you know, we don't mind the meal. But you guys, you sit for so long on the table that's what the stress is all about. You know, sitting for 2 hours after the meal. Come on, relax. You know, we also need to sleep, or we also have other things to do. So don't make like you're the only people in the world. So to be considerate is very, very important. You finish your meal, you can say a few polites and walk out. You know, thank you very much. Jazakumullah. Allah reward you. Allah bless you and carry on. So may Allah make it easy. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. Do you know why? إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ. Such behavior annoys the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is shy of asking you to go. But Allah is not shy of telling you the truth. So Allah made it easy for him to tell you just by reading the verse. Amazing. Some people are shy. So you got to write a note to your guests. Send them an SMS from somewhere and tell them to leave. Allahu Akbar. To be honest, we still feel shy sometimes. But like we said, learn from this verse that to be honest and upright is far better in the long run, and it creates a better environment in society and in the home than to beat about the bush and create enmity and hatred in the heart, whereas people were good-hearted. So, you know, people say things with a good heart. Sometimes they end up saying a few things here and there. We all make mistakes, my brother, my mothers and sisters. But at the same time, when we are reminded, you know, we can always correct ourselves. Like we say, we don't go for too long and we don't go so early and so on. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. So he says it used to annoy the messenger. So if it used to annoy him, I think we would be annoyed in a bigger way. Annoyed in a bigger way. Like I said, some of you might have heard me say this. When I was young, we visited a house. I still visit the same house sometimes. The aunties passed away. May Allah grant her Jannah. But there was a sticker on her door. I went with my mother once when I was young. And on the door it said, we were little school kids. And I remember reading clearly that we are happy. What? We are happy upon your arrival, but we will be even happier when you depart. Allahu Akbar. And I remember as a kid, after I told my mother what it meant, I think she took it the wrong way, because sometimes the older generation don't really figure out that it's just a joke, you know. And sometimes it might not be a joke. It could be a polite way of saying, hey guys, don't waste your time here. May Allah protect us. So my mothers and sisters, Allah says, فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. That Allah is not shy of the truth. Then Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُنَّ. As for the wives of the messenger, when you would like to ask them something, when you want to ask them something, then ask them from behind a screen. You see the screen we're using right now. Behind the screen. So you are allowed to ask them something you need to from behind a screen. They will respond to you also from behind the same screen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our hearts. Allah says, that is purer for your hearts and for their hearts. Imagine, it is purity. So one is people say, no, it's my right and my this and my that. Well, marriages are breaking, people are doing things, so many things are happening across the globe. Wouldn't you like to lead a purer life? Well, alhamdulillah, if you would, then you need to know there are certain ways of achieving it. And that Allah has revealed. It won't be from my whims and fancies. What I think would achieve purity, I may never achieve purity by that, because the owner of purity is the one who made purity, and he made me too. Allahu Akbar. So if you would like that, you need to adopt the command of Allah. Speak to them from behind a screen when you have to. And that too is confined to that which is important, not irrelevant, unnecessaries. So Allah says, that is purer for you, for your heart and for their hearts. And it is not right for you that you should annoy the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor that you should ever marry his wives after his death. Verily, with Allah, that shall be an enormity. Which means that is something grand, it's great in the eyes of Allah. So, from this verse, it became prohibited for anyone to want to marry, or to marry, or even for the wives of the Prophet ﷺ to marry anyone after them. Those were the women. Just the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were not allowed to marry anyone after his death by this verse, because of this verse that Allah had made it prohibited. So after they were known as the mothers of the believers, and they did not marry thereafter. They always spoke with respect from behind the screen to those whom who needed something from them, or who asked them a question or two, or whom they taught, because they, a lot of people learnt at their hands as well, and they always spoke behind the screen. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. Then Allah says, in tubudu shay'an aw tukhfuh. Whether you reveal anything or you conceal it, Allah knows absolutely everything. This verse, we can speak about it for a whole week. Anything you or I conceal or we show it, Allah knows it. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's a good thought or a bad thought, or some intention or plan or anything else, Allah knows. And Allah is all watchful. He allows it to happen in order to act as a test for us. Then Allah knows what he will do. And he knows how he will deal with it. So let's not think for a moment that we can hide things from our own Creator. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Allah says, لا جناح عليهن. You see the previous verse speaking about the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, that they spoke from behind the screen, right? Now there are certain categories of people that they do not need to talk to from behind the screen. But it's fine if their beauty, for example, if they speak to them unveiled. So who are these people? Let's mention the categories. Allah says, verse number 55, it is no sin on them, which means the Prophet's wives, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may Allah be pleased with all of them, if they appear unveiled before their fathers or their sons or their brothers' sons or the sons of their sisters or their own women, which means the believing women, or their female slaves. And O women, keep your duty unto Allah. Verily Allah is ever all witness for everything. So I hope we've heard this. It's a beautiful verse. Allah has just made mention of these five categories of people, or few categories of people. A person's spouse, obviously. Their fathers, their brothers, the brothers' children, and their sisters' children. These are five male categories of males. And then the women, believing women, as well as those who work for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness and protection. As for those who are disbelieving women and who are not working for a person, or then exercise restraint, or should I say, be a little bit more careful. One wonders what could happen, especially today in the age of videoing and in the age of little pictures and so on. Before you know it, there will be pictures of you all over the internet, and it's happening. Of late, I've read an article of where they say that the little cameras on our little devices can be turned on remotely if you are connected to the net. So you wouldn't even know that people are videoing you whilst you think you're busy playing a game on your phone or WhatsApping or messaging, and others are looking at you and perhaps even taking photos of you, and you don't even know. Through your own device, your laptop or your phone, it's happening. Of late, I've seen people in the Middle East who are now promoting sticking a black tape on top of the camera. And I used to think it was a little bit harsh, but now that I've read a few articles, and I've actually seen some of these videos, and I've actually been shown how people do that, you'd be shocked how they can hack into your phone, especially if it's an iPhone. May Allah protect us. This is why I say to people, we need to know how to use devices, and we need to learn how to safeguard ourselves. I think with us in this part of the world, not many people would really be interested in doing that to us, but you cannot know. You can never know. So just be a little bit more careful how you use your devices, even your laptops, your little things. I would already start putting a little small tape on top of the little camera that's there, just for purposes of being on the safe side. Wallahi, the last thing you would want is, you're perhaps sitting answering your emails in bed, and people are videoing you and actually playing you somewhere in the world, and they've downloaded it, and perhaps they might put it up and embarrass you a little bit later. Believe me, things like this could happen. They can happen. With technology, there's so many hackers, and people hack into the people who've made these devices into their websites. So what do you think about the device itself? This is why we say just be a little bit more careful who we deal with and how we deal with them as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the beautiful verse, verse number 56, I think we all know this verse off by heart. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Allah sends His salah. The term salah means the graces, the honors, the blessings, the mercy. Allah sends His blessings and mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When we say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that's exactly what we're doing. May Allah's mercy and blessings be upon him. We normally start off by saying blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what is being referred to. So Allah sends these blessings and mercy and honors and graces upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, and so do His angels. His angels do the same. O you who believe, send your salah on the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you should salute him with the Islamic way of greeting, salutations, assalamu alaikum. So this, when you meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way to greet him is assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We all know, even when we visit Medina Munawwara at the moment, that is how we greet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Or assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. We are greeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we are at a distance, then we do the same thing, but in the form of what we call as-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah. In the Urdu language, they call it Durood Sharif. So we would say, Allahumma salli ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala ali nabiyyina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. That's one of the ways of doing it, and there are so many other ways of doing it, of sending this type of durood. Even in salah, we do the same. Because of this verse, is an instruction. It is farad, it is compulsory. It has been made necessary for us to engage in this type of durood or this type of salah ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's important for us to know this. So especially like in salah, every one of us says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. This is the bare minimum that we should be saying in salah. By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He accept it from us. Remember, when we send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah raises our status 10 times. 10 times. So we are blessed tenfold. So it's actually an act of worship that is great. Then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهِ. Listen to this verse. It's very stern. And it has in it a very serious warning. Verily those who annoy... Now, yu'dhun, idha, here is translated as annoy, but it also refers to harm in any way. Verily, those who harm or who try to harm, obviously you cannot harm Allah, but people try, you know. They engage in all forms of Satanism and all forms of weird things. Those who annoy Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and in the hereafter. He has prepared for them a humiliating torment. Humiliating means disgraceful, that which will humiliate a person. Verily those who annoy Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has caused them in this world. Allah has cursed them in this world. Allah has cursed them. La'anahumullahu fi dunya wal akhirah. Allah has cursed them in this world and the next. So those who try and harm the messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and the next. And for them, there will be a humiliating punishment. Now, one might ask, how would someone do this? Look, my mothers and sisters, we say we are Muslimin and we believe in Allah. Then we lead our lives in a way that we are an embarrassment to Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's bad. We lie, we cheat, we steal, we deceive, we con, we swear. We make people's lives difficult and people know us as Muslimin. What's your name? And you give such a beautiful name. And then look at your action. So this is harming the reputation of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a very big way. Because when others look at us, they say, these are the followers of Muhammad. Look at them. They're crooks and criminals. The business with them is very bad. Their women are so hard. You know, for example, their women swear at those who work for them. And they're so rough with one another. They abuse their daughters and daughters-in-laws and whatever else, and mothers-in-laws. They don't respect their own parents, and so on and so forth. So all the teachings of Islam are discarded and thrown away. What does such a person expect besides humiliation? You know, my mothers and sisters, I was out in the West Indies last week. And from there I went to the UK. And to be honest with you, mashallah, as much as there is so much goodness that is coming out, sometimes when we watch people, we start thinking to ourselves, you know, people have lost focus sometimes. And that's why, as soon as they find the path, they become brilliant people once again. So why do we lose focus? Can I tell you the main challenge? The glamour and the glitter around us, that's why. So a lot of young girls, they don't know why they're alive. And I think even some of the older people, men and women, not just young girls, but you notice it more in the young girls. Environment has such serious pressure upon them to dedicate most of their lives to fashion. That's what it is. Fashion. So your clothing is what you live for. You live for beautiful clothing, you know. And the latest trends and the styles, that's your life. You live for it. That's it. What happened to the Akhirah? Well, by the way, we hope that we get paradise. But for now, it's not important. Why? Because the environment has put so much pressure on me that I need to look like someone I am not. So the fashion statements are such that if you take a look at the origins of makeup and face painting, you'll get a shock that, you know, if a person had to put a little bit, say, for example, to look a little bit better on their face, so they got the moisturizer and one or two other things perhaps here or there, mashallah, alhamdulillah. No, we are not saying that it's wrong. But when we become obsessed with it, such that the makeup gets to the degree of Satanism, did you know that just like the Hindus, and we need to say this because my mothers and sisters, whether we feel bad or not, the truth of the matter is reality. We are here to guide. We're not here to play the fool. So just like, for example, the Hindus would wear a necklace, something that looks like a necklace, on their heads in a way that it sticks out at the bottom, just above your nose, and it comes down as a necklace. Just as that is an act of worship for them, fashion will make it seem like, no, it's just a norm. So you start finding the Muslim girls do that completely. And they think it's just a statement of fashion, not realizing that it's an act of worship that belongs to a different faith. And another thing, face painting is the uniform of Satanist rituals. They are not allowed to engage in their rituals without painting their faces and making their eyes such that they become demon-like. So now you find the corner of the eyes being hooked up and flicked with the black paint going up. Your face is supposed to look as white as possible. And your lips are supposed to look as dark red as possible. Then you can enjoy worshipping the devil correctly. Meaning that's their act of worship. So sometimes pressure is such from society and environment in the name of fashion that our girls don't realize that we're actually engaging. We are more appropriately dressed to walk into the temple that belongs to, for example, the Satanists than to walk into the house of Allah that belongs to the Muslimin. Why? Because fashion has become our religion. It's our religion. In the name of fashion, we give up the deen. So now you have a beautiful cloak, but we mess it up by adding something onto it that really defeats the whole purpose of wearing the cloak. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because, mashallah, in our society, I don't think it's such a big problem. But when you travel abroad, you get to see things. And you get to ask yourself, is this what their life rotates around? Fashion? That's it. Nothing else. It's all about the latest scent, that's the smell. It's all about the latest looks, that's the makeup. And it's all about the latest clothing, that's the fashion. You know, the names and the styles and the designs. You are allowed to dress properly, mashallah. You are allowed to smell good, mashallah. When you're married, you have to because of your spouse and whatever he likes or whatever one another would like, alhamdulillah. But there are limits to everything, my mothers and sisters. And we're saying a balanced statement here. We're not saying throw away everything. But what we're saying is, be careful. Don't let it go beyond the limit where you lose focus as to why you are living. We are not living in order to be fashionable and in order to follow the latest trends, because trends are faster than you can ever move. So no matter what latest you have today, within the day, by the end of the day, there will be something later than what you have. It's just that you don't know about it. But the minute you start finding out, we become so fashion enslaved that people will lead us in through to a hole, a snake hole, and we'll go straight in. That's what the hadith says. حَتَّى لَوْ سَلَكُوا بِكُمْ جُحْرَ ضَبِّ لَسَلَكْتُمُهُ. That even if they were to pull us straight into a hole that is belongs to a reptile, we would walk straight into it, dive straight into it, get bitten. So we should ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What's this all about? You know, am I just a little fashion slave? If that's the case, you know, people have dedicated TV stations. They're spending billions of dollars on fashion. Do you know that the makeup industry is bigger than the oil industry? Do you know that? Allahu Akbar. May Allah grant us goodness. So this is why we say, mashallah, yes, look, you can look good, alhamdulillah, you can dress well. But it needs to be limited in the sense that let's not fall prey to it. Remember, you need to go to Jannah. So we need to not compromise the deen. Like people are asking you, you know, there's breathable this and breathable. Is there doubt in it? Is anyone debating it? If it's yes, throw it out. Don't risk your akhirah. If someone is debating it, you can do better, you know. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. This is why face painting is something we need to abstain from. Because, you know, it starts off with one thing and it gets to another. Yesterday I was on the plane reading an article about music and how the world is so upset with the way music is going that the non-Muslims are saying that music is an intoxicant and it's being used and it's being abused because it might have started off light. But didn't we tell you stay away from it? So now what has happened? People are going into something so bad that apparently they are provoking the world into doing that which is promiscuous and illicit through music. And they're calling it okay. The new generation of musicians and dancers are doing things that are absolutely vile, completely unacceptable. Somebody, if I recall the name, was Miley somebody. And I read it in yesterday's paper, and it was such a dirty article. I wonder if there was a video on that, how dirty it would have been. And yet they say that the non-Muslims are complaining about that. And we busy debating that it's permissible. No, it's permissible. These guys are too hard and strict, you know. It's allowed. Come on, a little dance here and there. Come on, you know. You've got to, astaghfirullah. You know, that's the tip of the iceberg. They say, give your finger, they take the whole hand. This, never mind, give your finger, they take the whole hand. They're biting your whole head off. Allah protect us. And then we still say, no, no problem. You know. So my mothers and sisters, this is how we would harm the reputation of the messenger. In fact, we cannot end up causing harm to it, but we would be harming ourselves, in fact. And at the same time, people would get the wrong image of who Allah is and who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. Such people cannot achieve goodness. They cannot achieve, peace and contentment in their lives. May Allah grant us forgiveness. May He make us more focused. Like I said, you enjoy what you have in the dunya, but remember your abode is the akhirah. We are not in this world in order to become slaves of this type of thing, but we are here to become slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will enjoy within the limits of Allah. And in the next verse, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, those who harm believing men and women undeservedly. Undeservedly means بِغَيْرِ مَكْتَسَبُ. They accuse them for that which they have not done. That's what Allah is saying. When you accuse a fellow believer or believing male or female of that which they have not done, when you make the life of a fellow believer, male or female, difficult, Allah says, فَقَدْ اِحْتَمَلُوا بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, then they bear on themselves the crime of slander and plain sin. So it depends what exactly we have harmed the person with. If we've harmed them with an accusation, then we have burdened ourselves with the crime of slander and a plain sin. And if we've harmed them in any other way, then we have shouldered that particular sin. Very important. Like we say, as you do to others, so it shall be done to you. Number one. Number two is, when we do something, we are actually putting a coin into a machine. And the product of it will come out from the bottom of that machine. There you are. So when we want to talk big mouth, mashallah, then remember others have bigger mouths. Remember that. When we want to harm people, remember there are others who can cause more harm to us. Remember that. Like when one man was beating up his slave at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tapped him on his back. He turned around, he was so embarrassed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I just want to tell you, Allah has greater power over you to destroy you completely. Allah has greater power over you than you have over this weak slave of yours. He says, O Messenger, I free him for the sake of Allah. Just as well he did. Just as well he did. Today we abuse our workers. We talk to them with a bad tongue. Our parents, our daughters-in-laws, our sisters-in-law, our brothers-in-laws, our sons-in-laws, our mothers-in-laws, our whatever, our real mothers, our real brothers and sisters. We so rough with them. We accuse them. We label them. We believe they have dirty hearts. Why? Because we have a dirty heart. Whenever you think dirty of someone, it is because you are dirty, period. It's over. No matter what, it's because you're dirty. There's no other way out of that. Not at all. Someone might argue and say, no, I'm a clean person. Why do you think dirty of them? Find an excuse. If you knew the hadith says if there's 99 excuses for them, Let them have them. But we only choose the one slight possibility. Finished. Why? Because we need to learn etiquette, that's why. We need to control ourselves. We need to understand my paradise lies in me, really. Becoming a good person, making life easy for those I live with, those I'm around, those who interact with me. When they are left, they must be left with a smile on their faces. MashaAllah, beautiful. Why? You know, we just had a lovely chat with the sister of ours in Allah. And you know what? We've just, mashallah, we leave with recharged, so much positive energy. Wallahi, it happens. Some people, you just look at them and negative energy affects you and you feel like so depressed. Why? Because they themselves have the sickness. And some people, in the lowest of time, when they are struggling and suffering, you look at them and they have such a sparkle in their eyes, so much positive energy that you say, Ya Allah, imagine we don't even have 1/10 of that problem and we are negative. You are so recharged just by looking at them and they give you that smile and they greet you properly. Wa alaykum as-salam, my sister, how are you? Just that much is said in such a positive way that you feel so good. So keep yourself in the company of those type of people because it will help you to become that type of a person. But every day we're negative. We get up, we're screaming, we're shouting. You know, raising your voice causes a lot of negative energy. So we raise our voice in the morning. We scream at our own children from the morning. You know, Fajr. We've just read Salatul Fajr. Come on, we need a bit of peace in the home. And next thing we're yelling at the kids. Come on, your tea is ready. You're going to get late for school and so on. Relax, relax. There's still a few days left for school, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. And we start yelling, speak nicely, with respect, show love, let the smile come. You know, even if there's something negative that has happened, you can deal with it in a positive way to eradicate it. May Allah strengthen us all. Really, we need to try hard to be good people. Try very hard. And inshallah, we can achieve. This is why we say, you know, when we attend lessons of this nature, my mothers and sisters, we achieve a lot. Wallahi, we achieve more than what others achieve after paying money. People pay money to go for counseling. People pay a lot of money. But to be honest with you, the Quran and Sunnah is free counseling. Free. And it's far better than what anyone can provide. Completely. So shaitan always comes and says, don't go. Just don't go. So when you fight yourself and you go, you know what you've learned. And still shaitan will come and tell you, no, 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 you know what, this and that. And of late, people have been saying so many weird things. You just got to relax. If you fall to those weird statements, you were never meant to achieve. Like yesterday, I was listening to a talk on the way back of one of the scholars, and he was saying, look at the mountain climber. You know, the mountain climbers, how dangerous it is to climb Everest. But they try. Their companions and colleagues have died already, some of them. But they keep on trying and they achieve more and they suffer and they struggle. And it's not a joke. To climb mountains is not a joke. You need to be fit. You need to know what you're doing. You need to know what provisions. You need to know so many things and they struggle and so on. To climb a mountain, imagine. And they are so passionate about it. Look at the cyclists. They struggle, they suffer, they go. But they cycle every day. The same applies with the swimmers and all of them. And we want to climb the mountain to get to Jannah. We want to climb the mountain to get to Jannah. And still we're not prepared to, not even to struggle that bad. To be honest with you, nowhere near a real mountain climber. Nowhere near his struggle. We just got to get up. We just got to force ourselves to be the best of people. That's all. Force yourself. And you know what? If you force yourself for a little while, it will become the norm and you become a good person. We're just sitting back and judging everybody. Everybody. Oh, she's like that. This one's like this. That one's like that. So our day ends. And we're itching for tomorrow morning that we can go back and phone the sister again. Yeah, tell me what we're saying about her again. Itching. Wallahi. May Allah protect us. Allahu Akbar. So now the verse says, this is the last verse that I read today. Powerful verse. O Prophet, my mothers and sisters, listen to this carefully because it can change your life. O Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is addressing His most beloved. Allah is addressing His most beloved, saying, O Prophet, tell your wives. That means those who are most beloved to you, who are they? Your wives. He was asked once a question, who do you love the most? He says, Aisha. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who do you love the most? He says, Aisha. Radiallahu anha. Then he was asked, and from the men, he says, Abuha, her father. Allahu Akbar. Imagine, a man, his father-in-law is the closest person to him. Imagine. Today they'll call you a garjamai, they'll give you all sorts of names. You've got to say, my father-in-law is my dekas chomi, you know. Allahu Akbar. Allah protect us. This was a link that was even before that. A powerful link. He says, who do you love the most? My wife. Imagine if you had to tell someone. Imagine your husband had to say, if someone asked him, who do you love the most? And he says, my wife. They'd say, go man, who's wearing the pants here, man? How can you say that? So what? I do. It's got nothing to do. So what? And if she tells me, come home, I'll come home right now. That doesn't make me a whatever. You know, they call you petticoat government and whatever else. They can say what they want, so long as I'm a happy man. I'm happy. My home, everyone is so... When I come home, they're excited. That's how it's supposed to be. And all your friends think, this guy, you know what, he's a sissy. So, if a sissy makes you a top man in your home, big deal. Alhamdulillah. All the other people, they could be machos, but at home, nobody wants them, nobody likes them. In fact, the wives will tell them, why you came so early today, we didn't expect you at this time. You know, we still needed a bit more peace in the house for another 2 hours. So who's in a better off position? Tell me. May Allah protect us. May He make us from those whom at home they can't wait until we get back. So Allah is saying, O Messenger, tell your wives and your daughters. These are the most beloved people to you. Tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to draw their cloaks all over their bodies to screen themselves completely. This is when they're leaving the homes. That will be better, that they should be known as free, respectable women, so as not to be annoyed, so that nobody will harm them. La yu'dhain, they won't be harmed. And Allah is ever oft forgiving, most merciful. We stop there. That's one of the most powerful verses regarding dress code in the whole Quran. Allah is saying, oh beloved, oh prophet, tell those whom you love the most, your wives, your daughters, and the women of the believers, to draw their cloaks over their bodies as a screen to cover themselves completely. This is better for them. They should be known as respectable women, and they will not be harmed. My mothers and sisters, we will talk about this next week, inshallah, but I want to leave you with a thought. I have had so many emails from so many different sisters from across the globe for so many years telling me how they have been liberated completely after putting on the hijab, just the cloak, and after, like we said, releasing themselves from the clutches of the male-dominated fashion industry. Remember that. So I just want to let you know one thing. When are you going to improve your dress code? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Go back today and ask yourself the question 20 times. When am I going to improve my dress code? And together with your dress comes your character. Because there's no point in dressing from top to toe covered completely. And you can hear behind the burqa F's and B's. Hey, that's a tight one, man. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. You would have to look 10 times. Did I just hear something coming from this person here? He left and she'll say, what you looking at? Oh, Marigya. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. May Allah protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all. My mothers and sisters, Allah protect you. Grant you goodness and happiness. Allah safeguard all of us. Grant Jannah to the marhumeen. Have mercy on us the day He takes us away. Really, we should love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be able to feel it. You know, forgive me if I've said anything that might have been a little bit hurtful to anyone. Believe me, that's not my intention. The intention is always to boost people's spirituality, to try our best to serve for the sake of Allah, to help one another. You make dua for me, we make dua for you, inshallah. And that's the way we will progress, mashallah. We hope to see you again next week. Until then, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.